If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, I want to spend a little time tonight looking at one of the last, probably the last parable that Christ shared with His disciples. He shared this parable with them probably on the night that He was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. And you know, the parables are a quite wonderful thing that the Lord has given to us. What the Lord does with the parables is He takes something that we can identify, something that we can see and understand and grasp very easily, something physical, something we can see and touch and possibly feel and taste, something earthly. And from that earthly thing that we understand so very well, He paints He teaches a spiritual truth. He teaches us of the kingdom of heaven. And you know, it's necessary that He do that with us, isn't it? Because we are young, finite, small-minded people. And He is an infinite God of whom that it is said that His ways are unsearchable. They're past finding out. He is high above the heavens and His glory fills the earth. But the earth is simply just His footstool. That shows you just how a great God that we serve. And so since He is so complex and yet He reveals Himself to us in Scripture, He takes these earthly things and teaches spiritual truths. It's not much different than what we do when we teach our children basic mathematics, is it? We say we're walking down through an orchard and we come upon a tree and we look up and we see two apples. And we say, hey, we have two apples. And we look down at the ground and there are two more apples. And they say, hey, there's two more apples. How many apples do we have now? And they learn to count two apples plus two apples equals four apples. And they take this thing, they can understand, seeing these apples with their physical eyes, and they can understand that very complicated concept of mathematics. And they build upon that, and they learn more and more. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ does for us in the parables. In this parable, there are three physical things that He reveals to us. You have a vine, you have a branch that bears forth fruit, and you have a farmer. Three things that we all understand. A vine, a branch that brings forth fruit, and a farmer. But He is not teaching us a merely physical lesson. He's teaching us a much more important lesson about the kingdom of heaven. Let's read the first few verses. I am the true vine. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. In this parable, Christ identifies himself as being the vine. And he says, my Father, God the Father, is the husband. He is the farmer. And you, disciples, you Christians, from the disciples that we're talking to here to the disciples today, you are the branches that bring forth fruit. When you think about the concept of Christ being the vine, you are immediately struck at the humiliation of Christ in taking on Him the identity of being a vine. We know of the power of Christ when He can speak a powerful word and say unto the dead man, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus comes forth from the dead. We know the powerful voice of Christ when He would say, peace, be still, to the winds and the waves, and they all calm, and they are calmed. We know the mighty name of Christ that God said, speaking from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. We know the ascended Christ, who even now sits upon the throne of heaven and dispenses of things in heaven and in earth. We know of a powerful name of Christ. And yet here He shows Himself to us to be a simple vine. When you're looking at a vine, you look where? You look not at the vine, but you look at the fruit. The fruit is what is beautiful. The fruit is what is glamorous. The fruit is what gets the glory. The fruit is what is tasty. The vine is unnoticed. The vine is something you may trip on or get in the way. The vine has no glamour about itself at all. You see, my friends, it is very important for us to have a proper understanding in all of Jesus Christ, for us to never, never take for granted and become familiar with the concept of God, of the God of glory coming down to earth and dwelling among men. Never forget the principle of Psalm 113 in about verse 8, where it says that He humbles Himself to behold the things that are in the earth. That's obvious, isn't it? That's clear. That's simple to understand. But it also says, don't forget this, He humbles Himself to behold the things that are in heaven. Heaven, the throne room of God. And yet it says that He, God, Christ, humbles Himself to behold these things. Never forget that. So Christ identifies Himself here as being the true vine. And He says, my Father, God the Father, is the husbandman. God the Father is the farmer, the one who cares for the vine, the one who cares for the branches, the one who makes sure that the branches are bringing forth fruit. This also is a beautiful, beautiful description of God the Father. Many of the saints were just getting familiar with this kind of view of God the Father when this was uttered by Christ. In the Old Testament, we see God the Father in a very harsh way, in a very a God that we see the judgment and the righteousness of God as He would strike down dead people who would complain against Him, who would murmur against Him, who would not spare His justice when people would try to offer strange fire before the Lord, who even when the one man reached out to touch the ark, He would strike him dead because he had no right to touch the ark. We see the great wrath and the great judgment and the great justice and righteousness of God the Father, which is also glorious. But here we see Him in a little different way, don't we? We see Him as being the one who cares for the vine and who cares for the branches. And that's you and me. You see, if I were to go out and try to start a garden right now, I'd have a very difficult time. I know what I want. What I want is to have the fruit that I can put in my freezer and I can eat it during the wintertime. That's what I want. But I'm not quite sure how to get there. And I often make mistakes. If you've ever seen my gardens, you'll know that for sure. First of all, I'm not sure what kind of fertilizer to put on the plants. And if you told me what kind of fertilizer to put on the plants, I wouldn't know in what ratio to put it on there. Should I put two cups or three? And how should I mix it in? Sometimes when I'm hoeing the garden, I'm not sure what I'm hoeing is a weed or if it's the actual plant itself. And I might actually kill the plant and leave the weed to grow and prosper. You see, I'm very familiar with what I want. But I'm not always sure exactly what I need to make the plants grow. Listen to what it says that the husbandman does. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Notice the second part of that verse. Have you ever spent had a time in your life, a period in your life where you just felt to be befuddled? Where you felt like you were just unsure of everything, when it seems like the weight of the world is pressing down upon your soul, and you're just ready to give up and just stop. I know what that's like. I felt that much that way the last few weeks. Maybe it's because of the physical, not feeling very well physically, adds to the mental stress. And it seems like the very things that I want to happen so bad are just not happening. Things that I don't want to happen, or they seem to be occurring very frequently, with great regularity. And the things that I think I want to do, I'm not sure if I should do them. And it seems like just stress and stress just piles up and piles up and piles up. And you just feel befuddled. You feel you don't know what to do. You know what's neat to understand? It's wonderful to understand that the husbandman is purging the branch that it may bring forth more fruit. If I don't understand that God the Father is in control, and as it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, that though this is manifold heaviness, yet I understand that it need be. And that it may be the trial of my faith and the trial of your faith that is like fire. Yet I also understand, because the husbandman is in control and he has a purpose, I also understand that even though I have no clear glimpse of what's going to turn, how it's going to turn out, I understand well, because I believe in the husbandman, I understand that it's not only a trial of fire, but it's also a trial that's like precious gold. Because at the end of the trial, I am going to be found in praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, my desire and your desire, if you're a Christian tonight, my desire is to bring forth fruit that would be pleasing to God. But much of the time, I have no clue how to bring forth that fruit. There are many questions in life, and I want to be a good father, but the kids are so incorrigible, and I don't know how to deal with them. And I want to be a good worker, but my boss is a jerk, and I want to be this, and I don't know how to do these things. But I know that the husbandman is purging me and caring for me and knows exactly what I stand in need of. And I will bring forth more fruit as he purges me. What a beautiful description of God the Father. And who are the branches? The branches are us. They're the Christians that are being purged. They may bring forth more fruit. So what is the point of this parable? What's the bottom line? Christ is the vine through which, the conduit through which all blessings flow. Through which all the nutrition and all the nutrients and all the minerals that are found there in the ground. All the fertilizer that God the Father is providing. He is the conduit through which they come to me. He is bringing these blessings and all the things that I need. He's bringing them to me. And it's wonderful. What is the point then? If Christ is the vine, and God is Father, is the husbandman, caring for me and being faithful and always giving me exactly what it is that I need, what's the point of this parable? You see, it's actually very simple. Christianity is not always as complex as we make it. Our Christian walk is not always nearly as complex as we like to make it. Have you ever heard a sermon and you walked out of the room that day and you just felt dizzy? Because you knew that the preacher was right. And you knew he was stepping on your toes. He was saying, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to not do this, and not do that, and not do that, and not do that. And you know that you have not been doing those things he said to do, and you haven't done the things he said not to do, and you just felt dizzy and didn't know where to start. Sometimes we make Christianity into a step one, step two, step three, step four, and then the results will come out here. What's the point of this parable? It says it's a lot more simple than that. Here's the point. Abide in me. Amen. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Amen. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. What's the point? Abide in Christ. You're concerned about your church. You're concerned about my church. I want my church to grow, and I'm not sure what are the steps to make my church grow. Should we start a radio ministry there locally? Should we meet together and go and pass out some flyers and meet the people in the community? And should we? There's many opportunities. What is the answer? If we had the magic pill, we would take the magic pill and we would grow the church just like that and make it prosperous and make it unified and make it wonderful and have wonderful services every time. But I'm just not sure what step is to take. What's the answer? Stay close to Christ. Abide in Christ. I want to be a good father, but I don't know how to be a good father. How do I do that? Stay close to Christ. Abide in Christ. You see, The reason, so much of the time, I believe, that we are befuddled, that we are so full of uncertainties, that we are so full of misery when we should be full of joy, is because we're trying to produce the fruit on our own. Christ says, without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, you can't do it. You can't do anything without me. It's like if you went out to your backyard after a really tough storm, where the wind was blowing so fiercely, and you saw some sticks laying on the ground, and they came from your peach tree, and you said, you know what? I'm going to start watering those sticks, and I bet you we'll have some beautiful peaches here in about 2 months. And so you go out there every day and you pour plenty of water and make sure that the stick is never parched. Plenty of water on the stick. And you go and you take some fertilizer and you weed away the grass so that the stick can have all the nutrients coming from the ground. And there's no grass there and it has plenty of water and plenty of good food. And yet 2 months later, the stick is not producing any fruit at all. It's starting to get brittle and it's starting to kind of decompose and go away. And you wonder, what in the world happened? And you think, well, preacher, you've gone batty. That's exactly right. That would be silly, wouldn't it? That'd be worse than silly. That'd be foolish. What's the difference in our lives? When Christ is the vine through which all of our blessings flow, and we cannot produce any fruit without Him, and yet we always want to go out and, I say we, I always want to go out and do this on my own and make this work. I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to spend some time in prayer, but when I pray, I don't even feel His presence and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but I'm not producing any fruit. What's the problem? Without me, you can do nothing. But at the same time, the converse is absolutely just as true. If he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth more fruit. What's the message of Christianity? What's the secret to the Christian walk? Stay close to Jesus Christ. Stay in close communion, close fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's the secret. That's the secret. And Christ says, and Christ felt it to be so important. This is the very last message, the very last parable that He would share with His disciples. Look at the result. Look in verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, we're staying close to Christ and His word, as it says in Colossians 3, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The word of God is be important to our lives. It's not just drying up and dying there, but we're using it and we're applying it and we're dwelling upon it and we're thinking upon it. You see, it's not just a good idea to read your Bible and to pray and to be in communion with Christ and to meditate and to memorize. It's not just simply a good idea. It's necessary. You have to. Except you abide in me, you will not bring forth any fruit. But when His word is dwelling in you richly in all wisdom, you don't have the answers. But that's okay. You're dwelling in Christ. Guess what happens? The prayers start to become effectual. If ye abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. Oh, have you been doing that lately? I've been doing that. I've been asking a lot of things that I want, and they're just not coming to pass. But when you're abiding in Christ, and He's abiding in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be. We love the shalls, don't we? She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We talk about the definiteness of that verse, because it says shall. He shall save his people from their sins. The same is true here. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Need some answered prayers in your life. You want to pray where it feels like your prayers are getting a little bit higher than that 18-foot ceiling or however high that is. Stay close to Christ. Dwell in Christ. Let His words dwell in you richly with all wisdom. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. We're going to talk about that for a long time. How did the Father love Christ? Oh, without comparison. He anointed Him with the oil of gladness above His fellows because He loved righteousness and hated iniquity. He was glad to receive them up into glory because of the work that He had done upon the cross. They had perfect communion and love together in eternity in heaven. Even as the Father hath loved me, so to the same degree have I loved you. Christ loves us with the same love that the Father loved Him with. That's amazing. And you see, to see the love of Christ, you have to start way before Calvary's tree. You have to go way back before time had ever begun. Before time had ever begun, the Son loved you with such a love that He volunteered even then to go down and pour out blood. Pour out His blood on your behalf. Blood's a thing we want to hide. We want to see. We want to cover up blood as ugly as... And yet He says, fix that wine. He says, this do in remembrance of Me. Look back at the blood. It shows the love that I have for you. What's the answer to us? Just continue you in His love. Continue to enjoy His love. Continue to return His love. Continue to be amazed at His love that He has for you. Continue in His love. Verse 11, we'll close with this. These things have I spoken unto you. Christ, why are You telling us these things? Why are You telling us to abide, that You are the vine, that all blessings come for You? Why are You telling us that Your Father is caring for us and gives us exactly what we need? Why are You telling us that it's so important, that it's necessary, that it's vital that we abide in You? Christ, why are You telling us this? These things have I spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The biggest failure of my life, the biggest failure I believe in Christianity worldwide, is we have such a good story. We have such a good hope when there is a world full of no hope. We have a definite goal. We have a definite home after we die. We don't have to fear death because we have something awaiting us that is far exceeding above anything that can be imagined here upon earth. And yet the great tragedy is we have this wonderful story and this wonderful truth, and we have no peace. And we have no joy. Christ says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. How are you going to face these battles? How are you going to face these temptations? Only through the joy of the Lord. And where do you get that joy? Just by abiding in Christ. By staying close to Him. Abide in Me. And your joy will be full. Your prayers will be effectual. And you will bring forth much fruit. Which is why you're here anyway. May God bless you.